Join us to navigate your awakening as we share the ancient science of transformation. Practicing this ancient wisdom will help you tune into your power and unlock your greatest potential. If you are ready to embark on your awakening and discover your soul path, then please welcome your host and transformation expert, Trinace.
Welcome to Season 2 of Navigating the Awakening. This is The Rising. I am your host, Trinace. Thank you for joining me today. I greet you in the love and in the light of the Infinite Creator. I would like to begin, as always, with the internal light meditation so that we can all align our energies with the cosmos, with the universal light of Source. If you are driving or listening to this and not able to close your eyes, then please simply open your heart and allow the intention of healing to move through you. Allow each breath to relax you more and more as we go deeper. Let's begin. First breath in. Breathe out. Second breath in. Breathe out. Third breath in. Breathe out. Relax. Allow your breaths to find their natural rhythm. With each breath in, allow yourself to become centered and focused. And with each exhalation, release all tension and stress, any mental distractions or images, and allow yourself to be in this moment in meditation. Focus your attention on the center of your chest. See your internal light as it illuminates your heart, as it fills your heart with brilliant, healing, white light. Continue to see this light as it grows brighter and brighter with each and every breath, moving in all directions throughout your chest, moving into your lungs, feeling your lungs with healing energies, allowing this light to remove any blockages, any heavy, negative, or dark energies that reside within the heart or the lungs. Allowing each and every red blood cell that enters into your lungs to be filled with healing light, carrying this life force to every extremity of your body. And now continue to see the light as it grows brighter and brighter within your chest, moving up into your shoulders, down into your arms, your elbows, your forearms, your wrists, and moving into your palms and fingertips, allowing for healing energies to flow through your palms, radiating out into the world and all around you. And now continue to see the light as it moves up through your neck, releasing tension and stress, moving into your cheeks, your ears, your nose, your eyes, your forehead, and moving up into your crown, activating the connection with your higher self, allowing for clear communication, clear downloads. And now continue to see the light as it flows into the diaphragm and the stomach, continuing to bring healing to these organs of digestion and deeper breathing. Allowing the light to now flow into the small intestine and the large, allowing you to assimilate your light energies and your nutrients. Continue to see this light as it flows into the kidneys, the liver, the gallbladder, the spleen, the pancreas, and the bladder. All of your organs, tissues, and cells are now filled with healing light, bringing you into perfect balance, perfect health. Continue to see this light as it flows into the colon, the uterus, the sex organs, allowing for healing within these organs of release and regeneration, giving you the courage and the wisdom to know when to release all energies that no longer serve your highest good. Continue to see the light as it passes through your hips, moving through your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, and moving into the soles of your feet. You are now completely filled with golden white light. See this light as it brings you harmony, peace, as it aligns you with the highest and the best, as it harmonizes your energies and brings you in balance with the universal forces. Continue to see this light as it now flows through the soles of your feet, turning into silver cords that move deep into Mother Earth, that anchor you and ground you to Mother Earth, allowing for any excess energies that are unneeded, unwanted, to flow through these cords, to be given to Mother Earth, to be recycled, to create something beautiful. Continue to see this light that is within your body, this beautiful golden white light, as it grows brighter and brighter, as it fills your body completely and now moves through the pores of your body. You are now surrounded and filled with golden white light. Allow this light that is outside of you to create a beautiful and perfect bubble of healing and protection, allowing the outer edges of this bubble to have a blue flame that surrounds you 360 degrees all the way around, protecting you, only allowing the highest vibrations of love and light to reach you and to be sent out into the universe. Continue to see your beautiful golden light and this blue flame as it expands and fills the room completely, touching each and every person who passes through it, connecting with all life within it, bringing all into harmony and peace and balance, increasing love and joy, and allowing for forgiveness. And now I'll continue to see this light as it passes through the walls, very easily, any obstacles, moving through them, and now out into your greater environment, your city, your town, your village, allowing for the golden light to expand and move out, bringing balance to your neighborhood, your town, your city, encompassing all life, allowing all who desire to partake in this beautiful golden white light to receive it through their hearts and to be filled with it, to be balanced and brought into higher vibrations, higher states of consciousness. Continue to see our light as it expands and now reaches throughout the world, where all of our lights join together as one, reuniting the family of light through our hearts, through our love, through our light. And now allow each one of us to be increased in love and peace and joy and abundance of all that is good, bringing forth greater awareness, higher states of consciousness. Now allow our light to reach deep into the earth, reconnecting with our subterranean family, moving through the water, through the earth very easily, connecting with our family of light, bringing us all into perfect balance through our hearts. Our connection is through love, through our light. And now allow our lights, as they join together in strength and power, in love and peace and forgiveness, to move out into the atmosphere of the earth, removing any obstacles, any energies that are not for our highest good, to be removed from the earth, from the surface of the earth, and the atmosphere of the earth, dissolving this energy very easily, creating greater love and light. Now see this light as it grows brighter and brighter from within the earth and now surrounding our planet, moving out into the greater galaxy, universe, and throughout the multiverse to connect to our family of light, our star family, wherever they are, to reunite us through our hearts, through our conscious choice, to be family once again, and to be reminded of our heritage, of our oneness, of our fellowship of the light, and of our oneness with Source. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you, family. How wonderful. You all feel amazing. You are getting so strong. This connection is growing each and every week, and it is so exciting. Thank you so much for participating with me in this. And now today we'll begin with a quote. In last week's show, we talked about the Magus. And with the Magus, they stressed the power of the wheel. And so today we will start with a quote about the wheel. This quote suggests that it is very important for you to develop your wheel. And it is strongly suggested that you meditate on this quote and commit it to memory if you are inspired to do so. The quote is, "Every wheel that lets itself be governed by the instincts of the flesh gives up its liberty and is bound to the atonement of its errors. On the contrary, every wheel which unites itself to deity in order to manifest truth and work justice enters even in this life into a participation of divine power over beings and things." And this quote comes from the Sacred Tarot, the book that we are using for the most part for this information on the Sacred Tarot. So now we will begin our deep dive into the wisdom of the Sacred Egyptian Tarot. As you will remember, there are 78 suit cards that make up what is now known as the tarot deck. These include 22 major arcana, which are made up of 12 astrological signs and the 10 planets, the sun being a planet. The 40 minor arcana are also part of this deck, which represent the four elemental kingdoms, and they are given 10 cards each. And then finally, the 16 court cards that represent the quality of your thoughts and your temperament. We are now going to look deeper into the minor arcana that represent the four elemental kingdoms. These kingdoms are symbolized by the four seasons, according to the ancient Egyptian tarot. This is not according to the modern day understanding of the tarot, as you will see. Now, the spring is the time of renewal of life, and thus the rose in some mystical orders is the symbol of renewed life. The spring also brings new food supplies that will nurture life. This food can be purchased with money, and so it is represented by the coins in the ancient tarot. In common playing cards, it is represented by the suit of diamonds, because it was thought at a later time that diamonds were even more precious than money. This is the element of air. Air is merely one form of food that is very important for you to be conscious of. And it is the most essential of all. But all other food may be purchased with money. And so money has become the symbol of life. And that is very deep. In astrology, this corresponds to the ascendant of the birth chart, where the sun rises above the eastern horizon. Now, the summer. The summer brought the three-leaf clover, which was important for feeding the flocks of pastoral people. So the clover became associated with the heat of the summer. A similar heat could be produced with wood, and so the scepter, or wand, became the symbol of summer heat. In modern-day playing cards, it is pictured as a clover, but still is associated with wood. Thus, they call it the suit of clubs. This is the element of fire. In the human experience, this energy manifests as enthusiasm, ambition, and enterprise. This suit belongs to the department of life having to do with business, occupation, honor, and profession. In astrology, it is associated with the MC, where the sun appears at noon. Now, in the autumn, this is when the wine was pressed from the grapes. It was a time of festivities and dancing and of marriage. The cup was used to represent the emotions and into that which the wine was poured. In modern-day playing cards, the heart is used to represent the emotions of joy and those that result in marriage. This is the element of water. In the human experience, this represents the emotions that are typical of domestic and affectional relationships. In astrology, it corresponds to the western angle where the sun sinks below the horizon. Now, in the winter, this was a time of dearth and want. It was necessary to work hard to gather and hoard large amounts of food, sufficient enough to last until the spring. And it was observed that the oak tree provided abundant acorns as a food supply that was also stored by the squirrels. Thus, the acorn came to be used as a symbol of winter. But over time, the afflictions of long winters and the struggle to maintain life became very difficult, and it would often lead to strife among the people. This came to be depicted by the emblem of the sword. In modern-day playing cards, the spade depicts the endless toil of the unfruitful season, which is symbolized by a shovel. This is the element of earth. In the human experience, this represents struggle, affliction, and death. In astrology, it corresponds to the nadir, the death of the sun, where the sun is in its lowest point in the 24-hour day. We will now summarize these four elements and the seasons. The spring equals the coins in the ancient tarot, which equal diamonds in the modern day playing cards. This is the air element. The summer equals the scepter or the wand, which is the clover or clubs in the playing cards. And this is the element of fire. The autumn equals the cups, which equals the hearts in our modern day playing cards. And this is the element of water. The winter is the sword, which equals the spades in our playing cards. And the element is earth. So this covers the four elements, which correspond to the four seasons in the minor arcana. Now, those of you who do practice the modern day tarot, you will see that there are differences here. And this is what I wanted to point out. For those of you who do practice, or for those of you who are somewhat aware of tarot cards and the meanings that they are given today, there will be many differences. So I want you to take notes. And I want you to realize that much was lost, much was hidden, and many things were convoluted, to say the least. And so some information is still being revealed. There's a lot that we will learn over time because the ancient teachings are now coming forth, because we are living in the time of the awakening when it is prophesied that that which has been held in darkness will come forth to the light. So if you do use the tarot and you've been taught the way that the modern tarot readers read the cards, I encourage you to be open to hearing this and applying this to see if your card readings would be more accurate. For me, the reason why I am so convinced of this knowledge is because of my own personal experience with studying many, many things from many different parts of the world, many ancient teachings and many books, very ancient and old books that have been translated into English over time. And when you find something that the information begins to all click, you know, in one book, in this book, The Sacred Tarot, many, many things that I've learned from many different places were in here. And so this tells me that there's a lot of truth here. There's a lot of truth. And I encourage you, as always, to do your own research and your own study. But please remain open to this information because there is so much to learn. And you must realize that we have been deceived on many levels. And maybe people have very good intentions that were trying to share information with us in the past, but they didn't have the information to share. So just be open. So now I want to talk about what it's going to look like as we move forward. Because I'm sharing this information with you as a source of self-empowerment. You don't have to take it for the gospel, but it should be something that you are open to hearing, because there is great wisdom here for you. And in this wisdom, you can choose how you would like to apply it. We are studying these ancient things in order to help us in our modern day struggle to awaken. And that comes with raising consciousness. So that comes to knowledge. We must begin to open ourselves to ancient knowledge, things that were hidden, that come from our golden age. So today we're going to look at the aces, the number ones, because each one of these four elementals are separated into four kingdoms. They are the seasons, and they're given 10 cards each. And so we start with the number one, which is called aces. And in each suit, there's a different meaning for the aces, according to the season, the element. Now, the aces correspond numerically to the planet Mercury. Remember, we went over the Magus in our first show on the Sacred Tarot, and that is the planet Mercury, which we just covered last week. Now, the general significance of the meaning of aces relates to study, writing, correspondence, communication, and travel. But the aces also have a divinatory and higher plane significance as well. And this is interpreted according to the suit that they appear in. So let's go over the meaning of the word divinatory for those of you who are saying, what is that? What does that mean? It means the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events, or an art or practice that is used to discover hidden knowledge. It is by using our inner sight, our intuition, and our perception. So I encourage you to also use your discernment, as always. Now, the divinatory significance of the Ace of Scepters, or the Ace of Clubs, is news of a business opportunity. Remember, it also represents the summer and the element of fire. The inner interpretation is activity. The divinatory significance of the Ace of Cups, or the Suit of Hearts, is a letter or a call from a loved one. It is some form of communication from a loved one. This again represents the fall or the autumn and is the element of water. The inner interpretation is moods. The divinatory significance of the Ace of Coins or diamonds is a short journey. This again represents the spring and the element of air. The inner interpretation is policy. And last but not least, the divinatory significance of the Ace of Swords or the Spades is news of sickness or death. It represents the winter and the element of earth. The inner interpretation is organization. So I hope you all are taking notes. You can always go back and listen to the show once again. Or you can also join us on awakenthehealing.com at later times to hear the show in full to continue your journey. Now, after our station break, we will begin our discussion on the Veiled Isis, the second card of the Major Arcana in the Sacred Egyptian Tarot. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back to Navigating the Awakening. Now let's begin our discussion on the Veiled Isis, also known as the High Priestess in the modern day tarot. Remember, we are here to learn more about the secrets of the mystery schools. Now, this is the second card of the 22 major arcana in the Sacred Egyptian Tarot. The Veiled Isis, or High Priestess, as it is known today in the modern tarot, astrologically, this is related to the sign of Virgo. The human function is clairvoyance. The mineral is the talismanic gem jasper and flint among the stones. The letter is B and the number is 2. Now, we spoke about this when we were going over our numerology. Whenever we look at the letter B or the number 2, this is what the energy of it is. This is what it represents. This is where it came from. This is how we got it. So remember, our language is coded. And each letter represents something so much deeper. And this is the information that I'm sharing with you. So when you see the letter B, whether it be in your name or in some other place, this is the coded information within that letter. So every letter is like a book within itself. There's deeper information. It stands for something. And the number two is also the same thing, because it came, that is the vibration, that is the frequency of this energy that we call the letter B. And it represents the veiled Isis, or the high priestess. Now, B2 expresses in the spiritual world as the consciousness of absolute being, which embraces the three terms of all manifestation, the past, the present, and the future. In the intellectual world, it expresses as the binary, the reflection of unity, and the perception of things visible and invisible. In the physical world, it expresses as a woman uniting herself with her opposite polarity, which we call a man, in order to accomplish an equal destiny. We're going to talk a lot about polarity. Please close your eyes if possible, if you're not driving or if you're in a place where you can do so. I want you to see the veiled Isis within your mind, just as it was done in ancient times. Far, far long distance ago, before they began to create the plates, and then in more modern times, the cards. So it was all done as a visualization. You had to see this and then meditate upon this picture in your mind. This is how you begin to tap into the deeper understanding that was hidden within this, because it's all symbolic. It all means something very deep. So Arcanum number two is seen as a woman seated at the threshold of the temple of Isis. She is seated between two columns. The one on her right is red, to signify pure spirit and its luminous ascension over matter. And the one on her left is black, to represent the bondage of matter over the impure-hearted people. People who have a dark heart are trapped by matter, and that is what this symbolizes. The woman is crowned by a tiara that is three levels high, with a crescent moon on top. There are 12 stars floating in the ether above her head. From her tiara, a veil falls over her face, and upon her chest, the ancient symbol of the planet Mercury rests. An open book sits upon her knees, which is half covered with a scarf, and that scarf is draped over her right shoulder. This symbolic picture personifies occult, which means hidden science, which awaits the initiate of the mystery schools at the threshold of the sanctuary of Isis. The secrets of the nature of the universe will be revealed to the student who dedicates their life to study and the development of their will. The symbol of Mercury that rests upon the chest of the Virgin symbolizes in many ways matter and the fruitfulness of the spirit when they connect. This union will help the mind and soul evolve. And when we use the word virgin in ancient times, it does not mean the way we believe it today to mean. It means one who is unblemished by worldly things. It has nothing to do with her having lost her virginity, as we say. The ancient symbol of Mercury consists of a circle with a cross below it and a crescent moon facing upward on the top of the circle. The circle represents spirit, and the cross represents matter. The crescent moon is above the union of spirit and matter. And this represents the soul, which is the evolved product of their union. We incarnate as spiritual beings that that move into a physical substance that we call matter in order to evolve our soul. And that is what is represented in the ancient symbol of Mercury. Now, the image on her chest also expresses the idea that knowledge comes from the Creator and is infinite. And this is because the symbol of Mercury is placed over her heart. And the heart is known as the seat of the soul. The veil falling over her face announces that the goddess only reveals her truths to the pure of heart and hides the same truths from the curious and the profane. And you will see this. People will come to different forms of knowledge in a way that they say, oh, I'm just curious about it. I just want to know a little bit more. And they don't seem to get the same results as someone who dedicates their life to this study. They will not be able to find those answers because they will remain hidden from them. And for those who are profane, this means those who come to make mockery of that which is sacred. So they will never be able to receive the truths of the universe. Now, the book that is on her lap is half hidden under the scarf. This signifies that only half the truth can be discerned by the physical senses. And that is called exoteric knowledge. That means outside of you, the outer world. The esoteric knowledge is that which is within the inner realms, within the unseen part of you. And this is the other half of the book that is covered by the scarf. And this must be understood through the application of the psychic senses. There's a quote I want to share with you. It says, reason, divorced from intuition, can discern only in the realm of effects. But when reconnecting reason and intuition, the scarf can be removed from the goddess's most secret page, and one can pursue her mysteries at leisure. Now, this is very important for us today because many of us come from the mind of science and the way that we see science taught in our universities and schools. It is through reason that they find and study. They get their answers through what they can see. So that is what the first part of that quote is, reason divorced from intuition. They're not using intuition. They're only using things they can see. But they can only discern things that are in the physical realm that have an effect in the physical realm. But when you reconnect your reason, your logical mind, to your intuitive mind, then the universe opens up to you. That is where our great mystics were able to map the universe and tell of the stars in places that weren't discovered, and some have still not been discovered for centuries before we ever even had technology to see it. That is what can happen when you learn to tap into the greater you, which is the unseen part of you. And that is what this Virgo represents. These mysteries are revealed only in solitude to the sage who meditates in silence in the full possession of him or herself. And a sage refers to one who's distinguished for their wisdom. Well, you see, you must go in silence today in order for us to begin to tap into the deeper parts of ourselves, our intuitive parts. We must learn to tap into our silence. And that is why meditation is so important, because it begins to allow you to just quiet the mind. There's many different forms of meditation, Some are for visualization to help you develop your third eye, and others are there to help you to transcend the noise. So, no matter which you choose to use in your development, and all are necessary at different times, you must begin to meditate in order to learn how to tap into the deeper unseen parts of you. That's where the great wisdom is. The tiara that sits upon her head represents the power of the mind to penetrate the three realms of existence, the physical, the astral, and the spiritual. The lunar crescent moon that is above the tiara indicates in occult science the intellect should be guided by the intuition and your psychic powers. This is the highest mind. In occult sciences, the feminine qualities of the mind are more superior to the masculine or the rational mind. Now, when we say feminine and masculine, we are not speaking of male and female. We are speaking of energetic qualities. The feminine qualities of the mind are those that rest in the unseen. Those are connected to your intuition, your psychic abilities. In occult sciences, these are more superior to the masculine or the rational mind because you need these in order to unveil the secrets. You cannot do it with the rational mind. The rational mind is used for the physical realm. That is where it is more powerful in that sense. Now, the woman is seated to show that when your will is united to science, you are immovable. So the ancients did not just believe in using the psychic parts of you or developing those. They also believed that you must develop a science to support what you have learned through the unseen or psychic mind. And so this is why you see in ancient times, thousands of years of history. This is generation upon generation upon generation of people who devoted their lives to studying these things that were seen in the world of darkness, as you can say. It is not of the world of light. In this outer world, it's in the inner world. And many generations of people gave their lives to this study. And so we come now to a time when people don't even realize that there is another part of them. They only know of their physical senses. And remember, we only have five of those. And the ancient Egyptians tell us we have 360 senses. So there's 355 that are within the unseen worlds, the unseen part of you, the psychic senses that you hold. There's 355 of those, according to the ancients. So the five that we rely on, just look at that number. What is the percentage of that? Very, 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 very small, very minute. So if you're living in the physical world, in your physical senses, then you are living an extremely limited life. And that is what the ancients knew. And so they found a way to prove these things, and they called that the ancient sciences that you are studying. And this is all very, very powerful. So now let's look at the number two, which is this card. And numerically, it expresses polarity. It represents the polar opposites of night and day, hot and cold, inhalation and exhalation. You understand. The most evident thing in our existence is duality. We live with it every day. Truth is also dual because there is an exoteric truth and an esoteric truth. They represent the truth of what is perceived with the eyes and the outer world, that's the exoteric. And that which is perceived within in the deeper realms is called the real truth. Now, in astrology, the veiled Isis is known as the Immaculate Virgin, who becomes a mother through the union with the Holy Spirit. And you have to also remember that these are very ancient teachings, very ancient sciences that our more modern religions take these symbols from. So if you go back and study the history of Christianity, you will go back and Zoroastrianism will be there and so many other forms of religion that were far beyond and before Christianity ever exist. And you will see that they all have things in common. And you can also trace them back to very ancient Egyptian times. Symbols that we use today that come from very ancient times. So this is why the veiled Isis is known to us today as the Immaculate Virgin, who became the mother of that which we know as Jesus through the union of the Holy Spirit. So you must open your mind to these ancient teachings so that you can see deeper into where this stuff came from. Now, she sits in the doorway of the temple of nature, veiling the knowledge that can only be gained through union. And this union is of the physical and the spiritual. Now, Arcanum number 2 represents science, ancient science. And this is the harvest of experiences which have become assimilated as knowledge. And this is what I was telling you about ancient cultures giving thousands and thousands of years of study and time to harvesting this knowledge through experiences. And now we know it as knowledge. Virgo represents the science that was accumulated over many, many millions of years. Virgo is a scientific zodiacal sign, and it rules both the harvest and the process of assimilation of knowledge. The human function of Arcanum number 2 is clairvoyance, the ability to see with the inner eye and to receive information from the unseen planes of existence. The sense of sight is chief among the perceiving senses, and perception implies the use of the mind. Both the mind and the sight are ruled by the planet Mercury, which was Arcanum number 1, the Magus. And Mercury rules 2 zodiacal signs. When the sun is shining, physical sight becomes available, but in the darkness of night, the inner sight is more effective and needed. And as the night sign of Mercury is Virgo, Virgo indicates that you must use your inner sight as well as your outer sight in order to see the whole picture. The other sign that is ruled by Mercury is Gemini. That is the day sign of Mercury. And both of these correspond to the inner sense of sight and to clairvoyance. So wherever you have Gemini in your chart, then you have this ability a little bit more than others. It's a stronger dose for you. Now, the meaning of Arcanum number 2 in initiation. In the pilgrimage of the soul, Arcanum number 2 represents the splitting of the twin souls into polar opposites. This takes place in the 12th heaven, as it is called. We may call it dimensions. There's infinite dimensions because each dimension has an infinite expression of itself. But we are told also in ancient times that there are 13 heavens, 13 being the union of all coming into one. And so within the 12th heaven, which is the highest spiritual state, this represents the stars that are over her head. There's 12 stars over her head. Now, in your spiritual awakening, arcanum number 2 represents that point when you realize that the material world is not all there is. It is also the point when it is realized that man or woman alone are not complete. They each require another soul of opposite polarity, or that which we call opposite sex, to aid them in developing both the physical and the intuitive aspects of the self. Because each one of us, these polarities take on a physical counterpart, and that is what we call male and female. We are the physical incarnation of polarity, okay? But we have both within us. And so you are being told that you must join both your masculine and feminine parts. That's why your brain is broken in two sides. The right side being that of the feminine energy, the intuitive mind, the left being of the logical mind, the masculine mind. You must bring them together in harmony within the self. And then you must unite with that outside of you, which is opposite polarity, in order for you to then begin to manifest. That doesn't mean that you have to be in a physical sexual relationship with the opposite sex, but it means that you must come bring your minds together in order to create. But if you choose to bring life on the planet, then you know you need both polarities in a sexual union in order to bring forth that life. This is a manifestation of what happens on the higher planes through the mind. So the power of the veil Isis is in the activation of your intuition and your psychic senses. She represents learning to apply universal sciences in your life that will take you far beyond your limited physical senses, of which you only have 5. Remember, we talked about that. There's 355 more senses you need to develop. And those are within yourself in your psychic abilities. This is the power of the veiled Isis. And there is so much more to this. I don't want you to think that I'm giving you everything, because I cannot possibly give you everything here. So I do intend to offer classes at a later time. It will definitely be next year at some time, 2025, and we will record those classes. But I want you to take notes, to do your own research, to continue to look into this, to see how it resonates with you. Please tune in next week as we dive deeper into the Sacred Egyptian Tarot to discover the attributes of Arcanum number 3, the Unveiled Isis, also known as the Empress in the modern day tarot. I leave you in the love and in the light of the Infinite Creator. Have a beautiful week.